And the Word of God is going to come forth this morning to hopefully teach, inspire, and move you. So don't be surprised if you get something happening in your spirit that you feel as though you have to move. Okay, so if you have to move, it's okay to move. You understand what I'm saying? So it's perfectly okay. Because we're going to play Follow the Leader. Well, what happened? I got two people that really want to join in on that, right? How many of you can remember back to your childhood a few years ago, right? See, I've had some kids at my house this past week. Becky's nieces and nephew were here with us, and they range from like 11 all the way down to, I think, 5 or so. And so I was one of the kids with them as well. And, of course, one of the times they said, let's play Follow the Leader. And so what transpired was, I'll be the leader, I'll be the leader, I'll be the leader, I'll be the leader. So they started this huge argument about who was going to be the leader, right? So it's like, I want to turn, I want to turn, I want to turn. I said, hold on here, there's only one leader. I'm the adult. It's my house and my yard. Thusly, I will be the leader. And then I got the questions from them. Why can't I be the leader? Why can't I? Because I said so. I'm not even a parent. I know those words. Oh, I am a pastor. So anyway, that said, how many times do we need to follow God? Very good answer. This is going to be a very short sermon after all. Woohoo! Right? It's a good day at Cornerstone. And how many times do we start following and then what? I want to lead, I want to lead, I want to lead, I want to lead, right? Let me, why can't I, why can't I, why can't I, right? Anybody get off the beaten path every once in a while in your life journey? What path are we supposed to be on? The narrow path, right? The short, right? God needs us on a short leash sometimes, right? For those of us that are wandering sheep, right? Right? We know that. We know that intellectually. Knowing it and doing it are two different things sometimes. Isn't it true? Absolutely. So we know that. How do we, what's the path that we need to be on? Whatever path God puts us on, right? So if we allow God to truly lead us, that means we will do what? Follow. Do you notice it's follow the leader, right? Exactly. Throughout Scripture, and as I was looking at this and preparing for the sermon, the word follow, every time Jesus met a new disciple, and that's why I chose Scriptures from Luke chapter 5, when Jesus had just healed a paralyzed man, and he's passing through town, he's leaving town, and on his way out, he sees the tax collector Levi in his tax collector booth. And he says, come follow me and be my disciple. Right? And the very next thing that transpires is Levi got up and left everything. He left his money bag. He left his tax collector, you know, receipts and things of this nature. He left that, what I know as and you know as perhaps, his comfort zone. Right? What he used to be and used to do, Jesus said, come follow me and become my disciple. What's a disciple? A student, right? A student to follow the leader. So he leaves everything and follows him. Now, where does he go? Wherever Jesus led, right? And here's the next thing that transpires, verse 29 of chapter 5. Soon Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. So what happens here? Where does Jesus lead Levi? To his own home, right? But before he leads him home, he has him do what? Collect his other fellow brothers and sisters that were like him, right? In my mind, this could very well be defined as the very first church service Jesus held, right? What was it? It was a gathering of other tax collectors. By the way, tax collectors weren't perfect people, just in case you didn't know that. They're still not. Whoops, whoops. Okay, no judging on the first row there, second, third row. But it says many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests were there. They don't describe the other guests. My guess is they're not exactly the highest of the echelon of spiritual goodness, I would guess, right? Why do I know that? Because the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Ooh, nasty. So how are these people perceived? Scumbags, nasty, awful people. The outcasts. Who's eating with them? The Son of God. Who's one of them? Levi, right? Where does Jesus lead Levi? To the people that need a doctor, because we see that Jesus says healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call sinners to turn from their sins and not to spend my time with those who think they're already good enough. The pious, the holier than thou, religious zealots, right? The judgers, the condemners, the finger pointer people, right? Jesus didn't want any part of them. He wanted people that understood that they were imperfect. Anybody here understand you're imperfect? Right? We know that we got issues, some of us, all of us, right? Some of us just can't seem to get our act together. We're following Jesus one minute and we're following our own selves the next or some other thing or whatever. We get, I call it Christian ADD. Right? One minute you're following Jesus, the next minute, oh, that looks good. Whoa, let's go do this. Whoa, some of it there, right? Right? What? And we get off kilter with that, don't we? Based on sometimes what other people think of us, correct? Or what they say. Feedback people give us. There's so often where we worry about what they want from us or what they think of us. And we can change our even belief system or how much we profess our Christianity to others sometimes, right? Out of fear of rejection. True, right? But see, the cool thing is Jesus makes a cool statement and a strong statement that he has come to help people who know they need a doctor, who know they need help, who know they don't have it together, but they want to have it together, right? So we see that, you know, Jesus picks somebody who's imperfect to be one of his followers. Is that good news for you this morning? Right. All of us can be well qualified to be a follower of Christ, right? Okay. So then let's turn to John chapter 21, because this is another place where when we start to follow Christ, one of the things we're called to do, I believe, is to gather other people to come see our change, perhaps, or to see the one that can help us change. Bringing people to God. I think that's always our role as a Christian, is to introduce other people to Jesus, right? To help other people come to know what we know, to testify to others how much God loves us and helped us change and get rid of some of our issues and or heal us, restore us, and empower us to be greater than what we even dreamed or imagined we could be. And to know that we have, one, first of all, been forgiven and accepted by God. And because of that, we can be used by God, correct? To serve God and to serve others. So I believe there is two sides to following God, in the sense that God wants us to lead our path of a spiritual journey upward, right? To cause us to become more, to do more, to love more, to be the greatest person we can eventually become, spiritually speaking, right? We're on a journey together. Isn't that cool? It's an upward climb, right? And all along the path, as you go down your life path, do you know what you get around you? Peace, love, joy, happiness, excitement, watching others also join that journey and become saved, become a Christian. Also become more than they dreamed they could be, right? Because we're following the leader. Jesus was brought to this earth to show us what we could be, right? and how we can be risen up in a higher level. So, John 21. Jesus appeared to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is after his resurrection. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and James and John. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing. We'll come too." So they went out in the boat, and they caught nothing at night. So one of the things we know about this particular story is whenever we try to do something on our own, even something that we think we know we can do, like fishing, because these are fishermen, without God's help, we catch nothing. When you're in ministry and you're ministering to others, without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus sent us through his power after his resurrection, without the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. At dawn, the disciples saw Jesus standing on the beach, but they couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get plenty of fish." What is he doing here? Giving the disciples a direction, right? See, part of one of the things about following is when you follow directions, you turn out the thing that God is wanting you to do perfectly, don't you? Right? For those of you that cook, I don't. For those of you that do, and the reason I don't cook is I'm not really good at following directions when it comes to cooking. It's like, this doesn't look right. That doesn't make sense to put that in there. And, you know, and at the time frame, you know, However, following God's directions is a whole other thing, isn't it? We must implicitly follow his directions to the T. And he says, take your net, throw it out to the right of your boat. So what did they do? They take the net and do what? Throw it out to the right of the boat. This is where movement comes in. Do you understand? Does anybody in the room have anything that is bothering them this morning? Anything heavy on your mind? Anything you're struggling with and you can't catch an answer? You're searching for an answer. You're searching for results. You're struggling with an issue and it won't seem to go away. Anybody in the room got that going on? Okay. So I want you to take it and throw it to the right side. Ready? All right. On three. One, two, three. Ba-choom, bam, boom, chow. Now, what do you have? You have an empty net now, don't you? Right? Because you let go of what it was that you thought you were going to solve because you were in control and you were trying to solve the problem on your own, weren't you? Right? Because you were being the leader of your own life, correct? Right? And you need a solution, right? Correct. The next verse says this. So they did, which is what you just did. Now they couldn't draw in the net because there was so many fish in it. So here's the thing. There are so many solutions to the problems that you have in your life. So many options available to you from God. There's so many things that all you have to do right now is pull in your net with all those. Come on, team. You're going to pull in the net with pull in the net with all the solutions that you need. Wow. Yes. You see how it is when you follow God's directions by stopping doing it yourself, throw the thing overboard that was bothering you, and pull in God's power, right? I promise you that by tomorrow, or maybe today, or even right now, whatever it was that was bothering you, where is it? Blum, 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 at the bottom of the sea. Right, it's gone. And what's in your boat right now? Solutions, right? Answers, right? More than enough, right? A multiplicity of them. Who sent the answers? God, right. And all you had to do was what? Follow directions. So this is one of those, I'm going to tell you what we just did in case you didn't know it. It's called letting go and letting God. Wow, I just made up a term no one ever heard before. Okay. I love to be profound. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Big surprise. Who else could it be? I want you to jump down now to verse 15, because this is after they eat the fish and all this good stuff. They have another encounter with Jesus. You notice how he loves to meet the people right where they are and gather around with them and talk to them and help them and converse and commune with them. Isn't God great in that respect? Whenever you have a need, God shows up at your communion table, wherever that is, by the way, wherever that is. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "More than these what?" Don't you wonder about why it's not in the scripture there? Like, this is like a vague statement. "Do you love me more than these?" What was he pointing at? These other disciples? These fish? These nets? These things that you always get concerned about? "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs." What is that got to do with, do you love me more than these? What is Jesus challenging Peter about? Do you love me more than being a leader, Peter? Being the leader, right? Leading those other disciples, taking care of fishing and doing the things you always do and your daily life. What is Jesus challenging Peter to do? Follow him in what respect? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Three times we know he asks him this question, right? And Peter gets a little agitated. "You know I love you." The way God knows we love him is not because we say we love him, not because of even our actions when sometimes we fall short. Do many of us fall short in following God? Does God care about that? God gives us another chance at continuing to do what? Follow him, right? See, here's the thing about following the leader, by the way. You know, when you actually play the game, you know, there's sometimes some places, like when I was playing with the kids the other day, I went to like the most difficult places I could get that new thought, at least the kids couldn't get to. It's kind of like, I love to challenge people. You know, there was like this huge, huge, huge tree, and I'm like, oh, they'll never be able to climb this. Neither will I, but. See, when God calls us, he doesn't call us to the simple, easy things to do, does he? It's easy to walk down a very straight line, is it not? Right? If you were playing follow the leader, isn't it easy to just follow a straight line? But zigzagging through life, through all the various places that God brings you, up, down, and all around, into all those places that seem uncomfortable at the time, is that a little more difficult? What must we continue to do? Follow anyway. One of the hardest things to do in following Christ sometimes is to feed his sheep. Is it not? In reality, right? Because sometimes what that means is I have to go without food to give to my sheep. I have to go and get the food to take care of the sheep. I have to do things that are outside sometimes of my comfort zone, don't you? And I, right? We'll keep reading. Jesus said, "The truth is, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked and go wherever you wanted to." That life's over, Peter. "But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and others will direct you and take you where you don't want to go." He was describing Peter's death. There comes a point in all of our lives when we really choose to follow God that sometimes it means self-sacrifice. And the question is, do you still want to go? Then Jesus told him, follow me. Follow me where, Peter? Where do you think Jesus was heading? To go feed more sheep, right? We don't know where Jesus was heading except for to be ascended into heaven. But what was Peter being told by Jesus? To follow his example. Because one of the definitions of follow is to imitate. You remember that game? What was that game? Mother May I? Stand on one foot, stand on one, whatever it was, right? You copy. Simon Says, thank you. Boy, it's been a long time since I've been a child. Really long. Oh, no, not that long, not that long. I have a childlike faith. Thank the Lord for that. And you did what the other person did, right? Right? Imitation? You know, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, right? Right? And the problem with imitation is if somebody's copying what you're doing, if it's not so good, that's not a good thing for them to copy, is it? That's why who do we need to be copying ourselves personally first? Jesus' example. That's why Jesus said to Peter, follow me, who I am, what I do, where I'm willing to go, as the perfect example of self-sacrifice, right? I love what takes place next. Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who among you will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? Isn't it just like Peter? He still hasn't got it yet, has he? Poor guy, right? What does Jesus say to Peter? Follow me. What does Peter answer? What about him? Well, he's not following you. What's he going to do? Sometimes we worry more about what other people are doing in our Christian walk than what we're doing ourselves, don't we? Right? And sometimes we worry about what other people are doing. We think it's better than us, so they begin to compare to us, other places, churches, other people, right? And we say, we're not as good as they are, right? You see the human nature in Peter. And listen what Jesus answers. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You follow me. See, Jesus sometimes and God sometimes in all of our walks, he doesn't care what other people are doing when he's talking to you. You know, you ever have that time when God says to you, I want you to call so-and-so on the phone and see how they're doing today. And you say to yourself, I say to myself, well, Pastor Tosh can talk to her, God, or him. Who did God call and say something to? And so I'm a delegator. It's a great role as a pastor, right, to delegate. If God calls you, which, by the way, the word follow means to follow a calling, which means, remember Jesus called out to Levi? Remember that? Remember that? He called him. He said, come out, right? Come follow me. When the guys were fishing, he called out to them, right? He said, throw your net over, right? Right? He called out to them, right? When God calls out to you and says, follow me, what do you do? What about them? Why are you asking me to go there? Isn't there somebody more qualified? Didn't Moses do that, right? Lord, I can't speak well. Throughout Scripture, we see place after place and person after person. Gideon, Saul, all the other disciples many times would say, oh, there's somebody better than this than I am. And if you're called to do something that God put on your heart, who's supposed to do it? Who? Does it matter what other people do or don't do? What matters? What we do, what I do, right? Two things God wants from us, our willingness and our obedience. We have to be willing to step out of the tax collector booth, whichever. Step out of our comfort zone. Step out of where we think we're supposed to be because somebody told us that's where we fit, right? This is what you're supposed to do. And this is what you're allowed to do. This is what boys do. This is what girls do. Whatever all that stuff is that comes not from God, but comes from society in general, right? All we're called to do is follow God, right? And that takes what? Devotion, faith, obedience, courage, trust. In Joshua chapter 3, when the Israelites were going to cross the Jordan, it says in there that the leaders were to go in front of the people following the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was ahead of them, right? The Ark of the Covenant, which is the Ten Commandments. So that shows always God is ahead of us, right? And then the Levite priests were to follow behind, and then the people were to follow behind those Levite priests. And it says that it's the people didn't know, they'd never been this way before, and that's why they had to follow the Ark of the Covenant, because they never crossed the Jordan before. They never went into the Promised Land before. They never got to that place of the high greatness before. They never found that sleeping giant awaken themselves before. But the Holy Spirit was encouraging them to move forward, go follow God to a better life, right? And then it says in the scriptures that just as they reached the edge of the waters, embankment there, as soon as one of the Levite priests stepped their foot into that water, the water would be drawn back, and the way would be opened up, and all the people would cross over into the Promised Land. So you see what following the leader is often about. Sometimes it's just being willing to take a step. How many steps? One little step. Which direction? Forward. Doing what? Following God ahead of you. If you take that first step forward, God takes the rest of the way and opens it up for you. And guess what happens? You land in the promised place of abundance, of the place you've never been before, of peace, love, joy, whatever it was, overflowing with so many blessings that you don't even know what the heck happened to you. Like, whoa, how'd I get here? You know how you got there? You followed the leader, Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this, all of you, every last one of you, within the sound of my voice, you have greatness within you. Greatness. Spectacularness. Awesomeness. Right? You have it within you. All you have to do is what? Follow God to a greater place and stop living in the land of doubt, fear, worry, rejection, sin, whatever it is that you think, guilt, whatever's holding you back, it's time to come out of your tax collector booth and to step forward into a new life in Christ. Right? So guess what? It's going to take movement. You got to move. Because listen, how many times in service do you feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit, right? And you know, we sang that song, chains can be broken, right? Chains, God, Jesus breaks chains all over the place, right? And sets you free from all kinds of things, right? And you're sitting there and you're getting all like, yeah, I got a chain holding me back. And what do? You keep singing. Which is, I know you got to follow the music, I sort of think. But honest to God, it would be okay to say, break this chain off me once and for all. And move out of that place where you were. It'd be okay to stand in your place and move forward, move to a different spot. I'm going to get you to move one of these years. I got a lot more ministry time in me yet. See, listen. God wants you to follow him where? Into greatness. To feed his sheep belief in themselves. To feed people good thoughts. To feed people on positive things. To feed people life and joy and happiness. To feed people encouragement. That's what Jesus, when he was saying, feed my lambs, he wasn't saying, give them something to eat. He was saying, give them the Spirit of God within them so their life can be greater than what they believed it could before. I'm feeding you this morning. Yeah, baby. So, with Jesus out in front of you, can you fail? No. All right, she moved, she moved, she moved, she moved. She moved, she moved, Christ Jesus lives today. Very good. Now, will the rest of you move forward? Will you move out of complacency and apathy? Will you move towards your dreams and your goals and things that were seemed impossible? Will you follow Christ to a greater life of laughter and joy and peace and harmony and all the blessings God has for you? Will you move to wholeness and healing? Right? All you have to do is take one step. Which direction? Towards the cross. That's right. So before we leave, because we have to go, we got things to do, more work to be done to bring more people into this fellowship of believers, I'm going to give you each the opportunity to decide today to truly follow Jesus. And if you will, within your heart today, move towards him. Commit to following him wherever he leads.